And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to recap the Cincinnati Bearcats Men's Basketball Weekly Update. The Bearcats, after losing to West Virginia last Wednesday, coming up, they have a three-game stretch where they're played at Texas Tech, home games against Houston and Iowa State. All three teams are ranked. And last week's podcast, I said that if UC somehow win two out of three during that three-game murderous stretch, that I'll be the happiest person ever. I think I made a bet on this podcast. I don't even remember. I have to probably go back and listen to it. But UC won the first game of this three-game stretch at Texas Tech, winning in dramatic fashion, per usual, in Big 12 conference play. It feels like every game for UC during their first year in the conference has been nail biters, has been heart stoppers, has been my blood pressure has been just been going off the roof. It's not healthy. I did not sign up for this when UC was officially joined into the conference, but that's what it is. That's why the Big 12 Conference is the best college basketball conference in the country. So we'll recap the Bearcats' dramatic victory over the Texas Tech Red Raiders last Saturday. And then we got to talk about the Super Bowl, okay? Super Bowl's this weekend in Vegas. Yay. Two teams that I am not really too fond of, meaning I don't really care who wins, but I'm not a Chiefs fan, obviously, because I'm a Bengals fan, and that's the Bengals' rival. And the 49ers, I don't really mind San Francisco, but it's a rematch of the Super Bowl they played in, I believe it was either 2018 or 29, that was won by the Chiefs, and the Niners blew that game. They had a 10-point lead in the second half, and then the Chiefs won that game. So, obviously, the Niners are going to look for some revenge. The Chiefs are looking to go back-to-back. Lots of storylines in this game, and I will preview that. I'll give you my thoughts and also my predictions of the game. But let's talk about Cincinnati men's basketball, okay? So last week, like I said, they lost a very, 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 very ugly game to the West Virginia Mountaineers. In that game, the Bearcats had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left in that game. UC only scored 5 points the rest of the way. And West Virginia won that game 69-65. I'm thinking to myself, you had to win that game. Like, what are you doing? Why are you losing to West Virginia on the road and you had a 10-point lead? I know the Big 12 Conference is the best conference in college basketball. Every game is going to be tough. I don't care if you're playing against the shittiest team in the league. It's always going to be a tough game. But that was a game you see could not afford to lose, because after that game, like I talked about with you guys, these next three games UC have had that are going to have. So they have Texas Tech, Houston, and Iowa State, three ranked teams. So that West Virginia loss was so demoralizing. I came on the podcast last week saying that UC's tournament hopes is over because I thought UC had no shot to win these next three games, or even win a game. Well, on Saturday night, they go to Lubbock, Texas, to take on then number 15 ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders, who came into this game undefeated at home. And by the way, Texas Tech has not lost a home game since March of 2022. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, UC's not going to win. They're not going to win the game. And I just hope that UC did not get blown out in this game. That was my hope for this game. And they did not. It was a close game in the first half. UC came out. They were the more physical team. They played their style of basketball, which is defend and rebound the basketball. They took better shots. They didn't take those crappy three-pointers that they've been taking for the last couple of games. And it just felt like UC, their attention to detail in this game was wired. And head coach Wes Miller had this team locked in. And that was good to see. So in this game, Texas Tech led at halftime 37-36. when they're winning at halftime, I believe Texas Tech has a record of like 41-1 or something like that. They were talking about that in the broadcast, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, even though the lead is only one, I'm like, okay, I still think that Texas Tech is going to win this game. But in the second half, both teams, it was just really good basketball, trading baskets. UC took the lead. Texas Tech came back and took the lead. And it just felt like whoever gets the ball last is going to win the game. So with UC up 71-69 with about 30-something seconds left of the game, Texas Tech has the ball. And their point guard, Pop Isaacs, hits a three over a defender that had a hand in his face and drains a three-pointer. Go figure, right? So Texas Tech leads 72-71. So UC gets the ball. They're dribbling. And Seamus Lokosius gets the ball. And Seamus had a really good game. He had a clutch three-pointer late in the second half in this one. And then with UC down one with about 20-something seconds left, Seamus driving, hits a shot, pulls up for a shot, mid-range, makes it. UC takes a 73-72 lead. Texas Tech has no timeouts. Pop Isaacs gets the ball, has the ball in his hand. Obviously, you know he's going to take the shot. He tries a little floater. He misses it. Skillings gets the rebound, throws it out to Newman. Newman all by himself. He was wasting clock, but here comes the Texas defender sprinting to go foul him. Newman instead dunked the ball. UC has a 75-72 lead with about 2 seconds left. I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is still plenty of time for Texas Tech to throw out a heave from way distant court. And Isaacs gets the ball, throws up a heave. It looked in line. I'm like, oh, no. But he misses it. Game over. Bearcats 75, Red Raiders 72. What an unbelievable win on the road in that environment against a team, like I said, that hadn't lost a home game at all this year and hasn't lost a home game, period, in about a year, going on almost 2 years. What a win for the Bearcats. You look at the box score. I thought Azeez Bendango played his best game since the Big 12 game, the Big 12 opener at BYU. Azeez had 10 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 5 offensive rebounds. He was 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 3 of 6 from the field, and played 27 crucial minutes in this game. Azeez, he was affecting this game with his size and playing good defense, and he was just making Texas Tech life really, really difficult. Whenever they try to go to the paint and to the hole, Azeez is there. Like, his presence is just so important. And when Azeez plays like that, oh, it just makes UC's defense even really, really good. I think UC has a solid defense, but if Azeez plays to that level like he did last Saturday night, it just ups their level of potentially, I'm not saying elite defense, but really like a really, really good, solid defensive unit. So I'm glad that Azeez had a really good game in this one. John Newman, who hurt his ribs late in the West Virginia loss last Wednesday, head coach Wes Miller said that he wasn't sure if John was going to play in the game, but he practiced. He didn't practice, but during the shoot around on Saturday, he shot around and Newman told coach that he was going to play. And what an impact Newman did in this game. 33 minutes he played. He had 11 points. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and he's just such a great defender. He is one of the best on-ball defenders, not only in the conference, but you can say he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the country. And he played 33 minutes. He was 5-9 from the field. John Newman is such an important piece for this team. I think that if John Newman III does not play in this game, I don't think UC wins this game at all. So he is such a warrior. He's pretty much the epitome of what a Bearcat is. And I'm glad that Newman is doing okay. I think with this game being on Saturday and UC has a week off before the next game, which is this coming up Saturday, having a week off, hopefully Newman's ribs will be able to be healed. So shout out to John Newman and shout out to Aziz Badengo. You both get standing ovations for your great performances against Texas Tech. Simas Lakosius, who hit those two clutch shots late in the second half. Simas had 16 points. He had 4 rebounds. He was 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He played 35 minutes. The thing with Simas is that he's a really good player. He really is. And he'll have moments where it's like, oh my gosh, this player is really good. And then he'll have nights where he doesn't do anything. If Simas Lakosius can be consistent through the next month, if UC wants to make a run into getting into the tournament, you need Lakosius to be consistent. And hopefully this performance against Texas Tech will help him for sure. And then Dan Skillings Jr. coming off the bench, played 29 minutes. He had 14 points. He was 6 of 14 from the field. I thought Skillings played a really good game. He had 7 rebounds as well and 3 blocks. I just thought that UC's demeanor in this game was way better than it was against West Virginia. I just felt like in that game, they just came into that game thinking, well, we're playing against West Virginia. They're not really that good, so we're just going to lay down and not try, but they just felt like that West Virginia was not going to try in that game. And it ultimately cost them in that. But what a bounce back win against Texas Tech on the road. It pretty much offsets UC's loss to West Virginia. It's still a bad loss. And you look at the resume, the committee's looking and saying, okay, you lost to Texas Tech. I'm sorry, you lost to West Virginia, but you were able to pick up a big quad one win on the road against a solid Texas Tech team. In this game, UC was 10 for 10 from the free throw line. I repeat, UC went perfect from the free throw line. Let's have a moment of silence for that. 10 for 10, guys. And Wes was talking about in the post-game interview with the media that when you look at UC's free throw percentage, and he talked about how this team is a way better free throw shooting team than what the numbers say. I just think when I watch this team and I watch the players go to the free throw line, at times it just feels like they're rushing their shots or they don't really have the best proper technique and they're not taking their time. In this game, it just felt like it was natural. They were making their shots. And like when they kept going to the line, the free throw line, even though they went to the free throw line 10 times, I just had confidence that they were going to make them. And man, what a difference it makes, guys. When you make your free throw line and they're called free throws, they're free. When you make them and you're perfect at them, I mean, you're going to win a lot of college basketball games. I mean, I don't make the rules. That's just the truth. But it was really good to see UC just, hopefully this will be a confidence booster because they need to make their free throws down the stretch if they want to get into March and get into the NCAA tournament. UC won the rebound battle 39-34. You know what? Only 13 turnovers. Honestly, that's really not too bad because this team probably averages like 20 turnovers a game. So they weren't sloppy with the basketball as usual in this one. And then UC only took 20 three-point attempts. They made 7. And that's good for 35%. So that's a little bit better. There were a couple of three-point attempts where I was like, why are you shooting that? But overall, I thought the shot selection when it comes to three-pointers was a lot better. So that was really good to see. And then UC had 8 blocks. 8 blocks in this game and 7 steals. Texas Tech had no blocks, but they had 8 steals in this game. UC had 17 offensive rebounds. Texas Tech had 6. And in defensive boards, UC had 22 and Texas Tech had 19. Overall, UC shot 44.6% from the field. Texas Tech shot 40.7% from the field. What a win. What a win. And as you look at bracketology, those are the experts that predict the 68-team field for the NCAA tournament. And right now, some of the bracketology projections have UC as the first team out in the NCAA tournament. But coming up, these next two games for UC are very, very important because they got two home games back-to-back against ranked opponents. And it starts on Saturday against number 5 Houston and Kelvin Sampson. 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Huge game, huge opportunity for UC to boost their NCAA tournament resume. During the Wes Miller era, Houston has dominated Cincinnati. They're 6-0. And only one game, and that was last year at Houston, where UC was leading Houston, and they were a top 3 team at the time. They were up by double digits at Houston, and then they falter in the second half in last year's game at Houston. But other than that, these matchups against Houston in the Wes Miller era has not been close. And I think it's time for UC to finally beat Houston. You have to get this game. I know it's not the end of the world they lose to Houston, but if you really want to make the NCAA tournament, this is a game where UC has to win. I know Houston's a good basketball team this year, as always. Kelvin Sampson has done a great job with that program. They have an elite defense. Yes, they lost to Kansas on the road on Saturday by 13 points, but I believe Kansas and Houston will probably play each other again in the Big 12 tournament. And they're going to play each other in the last game of the regular season for both teams in Houston. I think Houston's going to win that game. But Houston's coming off a win against Oklahoma State on Tuesday. So this is a big game. It's at home. It's a sold-out game. It's a blackout, so the fan base is going to be wearing black, even though sometimes UC fans don't know when they put out the color coordinates for what fans need to wear when it comes to colors. Sometimes these fans be wearing red on a whiteout, or some fans will be wearing red on a blackout. It's a blackout game, okay? You wear black. Then again, it should be every home game where UC fans need to wear black. I don't like color coordinated games. It should be wear black all the time. But you have to win this game. You got to get it done. I know Houston's a good team. I think if you look at the Big 12 Conference and you look at the teams and you look at all the teams that are beating each other up all season, the consistent team in that conference this year is Houston. They're 20-3, but I feel like they are the most consistent team in the Big 12. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a physical game. And I think UC has to match Houston's physicality. They have to. And you can't get down by 10 points off the bat against Houston. Because you do that, chances are that you're not winning that game. You're not. They're that elite of a team. But if you keep the games close, and also Houston this year, they haven't been the best road team. But that doesn't mean that they're not capable of winning this game going away, okay? This team is still really good. And if you don't match their energy, especially on the defensive side, and they've always been a good rebounding team. Now UC is a really good rebounding team this year. Rebounding this game and limiting your turnovers is going to be very important in this game because Houston is a defensive team that likes to turn you over. And with UC liking to turn, they love to turn the ball over. If you turn the ball over against Houston 10-plus times in this game, you're not winning. You have to get it done. You have to play probably your best basketball in this game. And like I said, it's not the end of the world if you lose, but if you really want to boast your NCAA tournament resume, beating a number 5 team at your home court will do wonders. Then after the Houston game, UC play number 14, Iowa State, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Two huge opportunities, and you're playing on national TV at home. Best Big 12, best conference in the country. You got two ranked teams coming to your home court. This is a big opportunity for Wes Miller. You can honestly say these two games is probably two of the biggest games in the Wes Miller era, just because of the significance of what UC is in right now, with their NCAA tournament hopes still alive. But if you can somehow, win these two games, I think you can say that UC is going to the NCAA tournament. But you just never know in this Big 12 conference, because there's still a lot of games left to be played. So I'm excited to see what this team does these next two games. They're at home. And for some reason, UC doesn't really play well at home during conference play. They seem to be like road warriors, especially winning those tough road games at BYU and at Texas Tech. Now, you got to win these games against high-ranked opponents in your arena. And I think the crowd's going to make a difference, and I hope the crowd is going to be as fired up in this game than ever in the Wes Miller era. I'm excited. So, UC Houston, Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. And then UC against Iowa State, Tuesday. That's on the 13th at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Two back-to-back games on ESPN2. All these games UC been playing in conference play has been on ESPN Plus, and not a lot of people have that. So people that haven't seen UC basketball play, they'll get a chance to see this team play in back-to-back games on national television coming up. Can't wait. All right. It's the Super Bowl, guys. It's the Super Bowl. Yes. Chiefs, Niners, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern on CBS. Rematch of the Super Bowl in 2019. That was won by the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said earlier in this podcast, the Niners had a 10-point lead in that game. And the Chiefs rallied and won 31-20. And that was Patrick Mahomes' first Super Bowl win. Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champs, winning last year's Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Niners are looking for some revenge, obviously. And this game is going to be played in Vegas. The storylines in this game is everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, Taylor Swift going to make an appearance because, you know, she's dating Travis Kelce. But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about that in the podcast, okay? We won't. But this should be a really good football game. Right now, the line says that the Niners are 1.5-point favorites. I think the key in this game is if the Niners want to beat the Chiefs, you have to... Obviously, you need to slow down Patrick Mahomes, but you need to get pressure on him. I thought the Ravens didn't do that. I thought Mahomes had all day to throw the football in the first half. Then the second half, I think the Chiefs were trying to protect their lead, but it was led by their defense. I thought the defense played really well. I think the reason why the Chiefs are where they're at right now is because of their underrated defense. I think the Niners need to get pressure on Mahomes, make life difficult for him. And obviously you need to contain Travis Kelce, because this guy, obviously he's one of the best tight ends in league history. But also he is probably the best tight end ever when it comes to clutch moments in the playoffs. He has pretty much all the playoff records when it comes to receptions for a tight end. It's pretty remarkable. And against a really, really elite Ravens defense, he tore them apart, catching 11 catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown. So it's very important for the Niners to contain Travis Kelce. And Brock Purdy, you had one hell of a comeback in the NFC title game against the Lions. Brock Purdy needs to be flawless in this game. Brock Purdy needs to not turn the football over. And I think Brock Purdy's legs could be a deciding factor in this one. because it was a deciding factor in their win against the Lions in the NFC title game. I think that George Kittle needs to have a better game than he had against the Lions, because Kittle did not have a catch until late in the second half of that game. So George Kittle cannot go three quarters without a catch or a target. Obviously, you know what CMC is going to do, but I think it's very important for the Niners offense to sustain long touchdown drives. That way, Patrick Mahomes and the offense cannot be on the field. And I think this game, I think a lot of people are expecting a shootout, but when people expect a shootout, especially in the NFL, you get the complete opposite. You get a defensive struggle. I have a feeling this game is going to be in the realms of, it just feels like a 23-20 type of game. And I think that turnovers, obviously, is going to be the deciding factor in this one. And who's going to be the more physical team? Both teams have really good defenses, but I feel like the Chiefs' defense has really surprised a lot of people this year. And as a Bengals fan and the meetings that the Bengals and Chiefs have had, I wasn't too fond of the Chiefs' defense until the Bengals and Chiefs matched up in the AFC title game last year. That's when I knew, I was like, okay, this Chiefs' defense has gotten better throughout the year. So I think it's going to be who's going to be the more physical team, and obviously who's going to be the team that don't turn the ball over. And whoever's going to capitalize on that turnovers, they must capitalize with, obviously, touchdown instead of field goals. So I think my X factor in this game, if I have to say for both teams, I think my X factor for the Chiefs, and I think Rashee Rice is a solid receiver. I think he really hasn't done that much since the Dolphins wild card win. I think he's an X factor. I think he's going to contribute in this game, and he could possibly catch a touchdown pass. So I think he's an X factor for the Chiefs. And for the Niners, Juwan Jennings, he's a really tall target for them at wide receiver, and he made one hell of a catch in the game against the Lions. I remember, I was like, oh, wow, Brock Purdy just threw it up there, and Jennings came up with a crazy catch. I think Jennings is going to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. If you're a betting man, bet Juwan Jennings anytime touchdown scorer. You'll thank me later. I just have a feeling that he's going to do something in this game, and I think he's going to be an X factor in this game, making some catches as well. So I think Brock Purdy is going to find Juwan Jennings in the end zone in the Super Bowl. It's going to be interesting, man. You guys know that I don't like the Chiefs, obviously, but I respect them because they're a damn good football team. They have probably the best quarterback in the league. I know Lamar Jackson won MVP, but I still think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And they're still the defending Super Bowl champs. And they've been doubted all year. People said that people kept saying the Chiefs dynasty was over, blah, blah, blah. And then they go into playoffs as a 3 seed. Mahomes playing on the road in the playoffs for the first time in his career. And he beats the Bills on the road and beat the number one seed Ravens on the road. Right. It's like go figure, right? I really want to pick the Niners. I really do. But for some reason, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. And I just think their defense is going to be the reason why. And if I have to give a prediction score for this game, I'm going to say Chiefs 23, Niners 20. I think Harrison Butker hits a field goal of about, I don't know, like a minute left of the game to give the Chiefs a 3-point lead. And then the Niners driving to get in field goal position to tie the game and send the game to overtime. And unfortunately, Brock Purdy throws an interception and the Chiefs go on to win the Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowl for the Chiefs. And I'm going to throw up. Yeah, I just think the Chiefs are going to win the game. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Niners win the game, but I just feel like the Chiefs are going to do it. But the Niners should have a lot of motivation because they lost in the last Super Bowl against the Chiefs 4 years ago. So they're going to be amped up as well. So I see a lot of people picking the Chiefs. So that should be extra motivation for Kyle Shanahan and company. I do hope the Niners win, guys. I really do. But I just have a feeling the Chiefs are going to win. Things to look for in this game. Okay, the halftime show. You got Usher. Yeah! I guarantee this new generation is going to be playing that song after this game for the next month. It's going to be so annoying. And then I talked about this in the podcast 2 weeks ago. But an NFL referee who lives in Mason, who played football for 6 seasons in the NFL. He played his college football days in Penn State. Terry Killens is going to be officiating the game, making NFL history as the first person to not only play in a Super Bowl, but also to officiate in a Super Bowl. So, round of applause for Terry. He's going to be on this podcast after his season ends on Sunday. I'm going to give him more time before he get on this podcast. It should be a great one. I've been talking about it for a while, so he will be on the podcast. He's been getting so much fame and everything. I'm not hating. He deserves it. He's a good friend of mine, but I'm excited for Terry. So the reason why I'm watching the game is, obviously, I guess I'll watch it for the game, but also watching for Terry Killens. So congrats, bro. I know he's on his way to Vegas as well for the game. Okay, that's pretty much it for this podcast. I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I appreciate my day zero followers, but I appreciate my new followers that are listening to this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, give it a rating, give it a 5-star, leave a review. I appreciate it all. And you guys enjoy the Super Bowl. Stay safe. And also, I believe that the day after the Super Bowl should be a day off for everyone. We should not work, okay? There's going to be a bunch of Super Bowl parties. It's like, that should be, the next day should be a day off for people that have to work. We don't have to work the day after the Super Bowl. I wish they can just do that. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I wish that when the Bengals lost to the Rams in 2021 or 2022, whatever, the fact that I went to work the next day is a modern day miracle. Like, I was so depressed, and that's why I called this podcast Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I was legitimately depressed. That day was, like, gloomy and cloudy. I'm thinking to myself, why am I here? It was such a somber day. Like, I still want to cry when I was at work. I wasn't in the mood. I had a mean mug face. It was just, no. Even if the Bengals would have won that game, I just didn't want to go to work. It's like, that's why I believe that they should just say that the day after the Super Bowl, no work for anyone. So if you guys don't want to go to work the next day, give me your slip and I'll write like a sick note and I'll just sign my signature, of course. Love you guys, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Enjoy the Super Bowl, but more importantly, stay safe as well. Peace.